We come to this 13th psalm. I've entitled this lesson, How Long? And for approximately 9 years of David's life, he's been hunted and he's been hounded by King Saul and those that align themselves with him. David had not done one thing to deserve this, and it often left him drained and discouraged. And so he's calling out, how long? And four times in the first two verses that question is asked. But we see him just completely drained. When we carefully study the Bible, it's clear that our trials are time-related and our time is in control by God. Sometimes that time of trouble will seem to last so long. Life will have its share of time-related troubles, and even the best of servants may begin to think that they have been forgotten and abandoned by God. But through a personal trust in God, the believer may go directly to the Lord, and that sorrow can actually be turned into a song. And so this specific psalm is about getting out of depression when you feel as if you're all alone and other people around you are causing trouble and the problem. There'll be enemies and adversaries who will turn against us in life, and when that happens, we may slip into this worst kind of depression. It's a time when this psalm becomes so important. And the point of this psalm is this: when the believer is depressed because he's surrounded by adversaries and trouble, he may get a song back in his heart by praying to God, trusting in God, and by going to worship God. So it doesn't matter how low we are, this psalm is the key to getting back up and to getting a song back into our heart. So let's look at it today. The faithful believer is in a how long depression. Look at verses 1 and 2 of this psalm. He says to the choir master, a psalm of David, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" Now, this depression that David is in wasn't because he was sinning. David had done nothing evil to bring this sin on him. There was nothing in his life that needed to be confessed. David was under great attack, and his emotions were playing havoc with him, as our emotions do. Four times in these two verses, he cries out to God, how long? What this tells us at this that this trial has lasted for quite some time. And in this first verse, he indicates that it had been apparently lasted long enough that David thought God had forgotten him and was actually hiding his face from him. In the second verse, it's clear that David could not sense God's presence or direction in any way. He thought he was on his own. He actually thought he needed to counsel himself. Every day was a depressing day, and he had sorrow in his heart all day long. And David's enemies seemed to be on the top of the world and seemed to have the upper hand. It was almost as if God had left David and had blessed his enemies. And we learn an important lesson here. When we're experiencing trials, and they have gone on for some time, our emotions and minds can begin to play tricks on us, especially when it comes to our perspective of our relationship with God. God cannot even forget us. God cannot forsake his people. It's true that for a while our enemies may appear to be getting the best of us, but that can only be for a short time. We can't ever allow what we feel to become the basis for what we believe. Just because David felt something did not mean that it was true. And I can't help but think of Jesus. While he was on the cross, it appeared as if every one of his enemies had won. It appeared as though they were winners and he was the loser. But nothing was further from the truth. His cross became their condemnation. His humiliation became their damnation. It became our salvation. And God the Father did forsake God the Son for a moment. But in that moment, his Son was accomplishing his greatest victory. And there may be moments in our lives when it appears as though we have been forsaken by God. And that's not all bad. In fact, God may be using this to accomplish great purposes with us. When we're sad, as if we're all alone and totally abandoned and totally on our own, we need to faithfully wait on God and trust him, because he may be setting the stage for the greatest victory in our life. And so we see as we come to these this third verse is that the faithful believer made his specific request to God. And we can't read these Psalms without time and time again realizing that troubles and trials drove David to his knees. Difficulties made David a man of prayer, and that is exactly what they should do for us. There are three specific requests David makes to God, and all three are imperatives in the Hebrew. First of all, there's the request for God to consider. Look at the first part of verse 3. He says, "Consider and answer me, O Lord my God." And that first imperative, he wants him to consider. That verb consider is one in Hebrew that means that David is demanding that God look at and behold him in his specific situation. Now, grammatically in the Hebrew, when we have an imperative given after an interrogative question sentence with the how long and expected consequences in view. In other words, David expected God to look at him now as a result of the time length of the trial or trouble. The how long became the basis for his request for God to look at him or behold him. The actual idea of God looking and beholding is the idea of looking to give him favorable blessings. David is not crying out to God just because something went wrong in his day. He's crying out to God because trouble has been with him for a long time, and he's expecting God to intervene. So when it comes to us experiencing trouble, it's not that we need to get God's attention. It's that sometimes it takes God a while to get our attention. Sometimes it takes God a while to get our attention. It takes God a while to show us that we must depend on him and not on ourselves. When we finally figure this out, we will understand that it's not just that we should cry out to God, it is that we must cry out to God. Or should cry out to God, we must cry out to God. And the request for God to answer comes in the second part here, or the middle part here of verse 3. He says, "Light up my eyes." And so he's asking God to answer him. When we talk about that, he's saying, "Would you answer me?" Carefully observe that. Oh, Lord my God. You see that? David did not just believe in the majestic sovereign God. He knew God as his personal God. He knew God was watching him and listening to him. Until we develop a relationship with God that recognizes he is sovereign and personal, we will never go to God like this. He viewed God as Lord, the self-existing sovereign I am. But he also had such a personal relationship with God that he could call him my God. It is that concept of God that prompted him in prayer. And then he wants God to enlighten. Look at the third part here in verse 3. He says, "Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death." That word light up means that David is asking God to give light and shining, not only to his eyes, but to his mind and his life. Things were very dark in David's life, and he's asking God for some shining light. Now, David gives three reasons why this is the case. Because if he doesn't, he'll die. Physically and emotionally, spiritually, David's dying. He needed God's help, and he needed it now. He's like a living corpse. His life was zapped. And if God doesn't, his enemies will dominate. Look at the first part of verse 4. "Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him." David did not want his enemies to be able to testify how they had overcome him. God needed to come to David's rescue so his enemies would be silenced. And then, because if God doesn't, his adversaries would rejoice. The second part of verse 4 says, "Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken." David's God's man. Those against David would like nothing more than to be able to rejoice over the fact that God's man had been toppled. And this is exactly why David had cried out to God. And there's a progression to this psalm. David had stopped counseling himself. He had started crying out to God. And the hymn we sing is correct. "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." And then we see here that the faithful believer finally rejoices. And we see that in verses 5 and 6. And the formula found in these verses is better than any pill or drug you'll ever take for depression. The counsel here is far greater than any pharmacist or psychologist or psychiatrist. David was absolutely had no one to depend on or help him except God. And God was always what he needed. And so we see him praying to God in verses 3 and 4, which we've already read. we've pressed that point. But then he trusted God. Look at the first part of verse 5. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. He knew that the only one he could trust to get him out of trouble and depression was God. Notice he trusted in the loving kindness or mercy of God. David started to think about the mercy of God and how he delights to help the helpless. And that prompted him to start trusting God. He stopped trusting in himself and started trusting God. And then the second part of verse 5, he says here, my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. Specifically, he rejoiced in his salvation. He certainly could not rejoice in his circumstances, but he could rejoice in his salvation. And then lastly, we see here that he worships God. Verse 6, I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. One of the mistakes that troubled and depressed believers make is to stop going to church and stop worshiping God. But this is the key to getting out of depression. This is what can put a song back in our heart. This can get us out of that spiritual rut. So when the psalm opens, David is crying out to God. And when it ends, he is singing praises to God. So we're going to go through dark times when God seems nowhere near. But he's near. And in dark times, we need to go to him in prayer. And in dark times, we need to trust God in his word. And in dark times, we need to rejoice in our salvation. And in dark times, we need to continue to go to church and worship God.